Live from the Yoko Ono Museum of Screaming in New York City, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and all-too-dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, picker, grinner, lover, sinner, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And are you ready for it? Are you absolutely tingling with anticipation? Sculptor, marksman, instigator. The 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who can eat his weight in bacon. Alan J. Ringhausen.
Giddy up there. Eat your weight in bacon.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was doing the frog.
Huh. Let's say you weigh, whatever it is you weigh, 135 pounds.
And some.
If you had 135 pounds of nicely fried bacon, how long would it take you to eat it?
The rest of my life.
Oh, no way.
But it keeps well. It's cured meat.
You could eat a pound of bacon a day.
They could first few days.
So it'd be 135 days. What is that? About 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
You could eat a pound of bacon every day for 5 months, couldn't you?
And live to tell it? I would no longer weigh 135 pounds.
Well, if that's all you were eating.
You didn't say that.
No, it was implied. It was implied.
Well, the other thing is, it'd probably kill you, wouldn't it? A pound of bacon a day for 135 days.
I'll bet there'd be takers. Just call somebody and say, we need someone to eat a pound of bacon a day for 4 months.
Yeah, wasn't there some guy did like the McDonald's challenge where he lived on nothing but McDonald's food every day for a year?
Ate all of his meals, 3 meals a day.
Yeah, McDonald's. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And he gained like
a titanic
amount of weight.
His experiment almost killed him, I think.
You know, that's true for a lot of people. You know, a lot of the people that were trying to invent the first airplane got killed.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them. And like the Curies died from...
radium poisoning.
Yeah. I knew Young gave us some wonderful scientific contributions, but it took its toll.
It killed him.
Yeah. Well, that's... Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of came back on him, didn't it?
It did. So we're back in our regular studio, finally.
Yeah.
I like the regular studio.
We passed that 100-episode serial a while back here, stampeding towards 2 years of podcasting.
That's correct. I'm working on the second 100 now.
You know, I got stopped. I was out in public, and somebody stopped and said that they listened faithfully for each new show to come out every Thursday morning.
Wow.
Still. And Mom said to say hi. You know, that's not true. Our parents don't listen to this.
That would mean they had to listen to it, figure out how to do a podcast.
Well, yeah, and then they would be thinking about how to punish us. Wait, they did what?
I think once they click up to 90 years old, there's not a lot of spanking anymore that I'm real worried about.
Not a whole lot.
Of course, Dad's not 90.
Nope. Nowhere close to it.
89.
Yeah. It's months away.
So what's new? You said you had something on your mind.
Did I?
Jesus. I get the feeling anything on your mind only lasts like 15 minutes or so, and then it's not on your mind anymore.
Yeah. I was at this meeting, you know, kind of a little lunch meeting with this guy. It works for the state, and he shows up, and we're both sitting at this restaurant looking out the window. He says, "Just got that new car." He says, "All electric, the new Ford Mach-E."
Yeah.
He said, "You wouldn't believe what this thing does." I said, "Drove one last week." Crushed him.
Already got one.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter has one, and they're amazing to drive. They're the ones that...
And they're quiet, right?
They're quiet, but they got tons of pickup. I mean, they really go. But the thing that gets me is the electronic overload that they lay on. You know, like, you're driving it, but there's this enormous screen right in the middle of the car, and it's updating you on stuff constantly, you know, not just how fast you're going or you know, how much time you got left on your
how much bacon
battery,
you've eaten today.
How much battery, you know, you've gotten. But it's, you know, what's coming up? What roadside attractions are up here? You know, how many cars are around you? Is there another electric car near? Where's the next charger? Where's the next restaurant? It's just all this stuff, and it's just like, leave me alone!
Why would you need to know where another electric car is so that you can, like, flag them down as you're driving? Hey, me too! Right here! Are you the one telling me that some of these electric cars come with a button you can flip that'll make it make, like, an engine noise?
Yeah, you can do that. It's like when the digital cameras came out. Remember when digital cameras came out?
Yeah.
And then you can operate them in total silence, but it bothered people so much because they were used to that, you know, the picture-taking sound.
Yeah.
That the manufacturers built that into that you can turn that sound on. It doesn't mean anything other than you're getting the sound of a camera taking a picture.
Well, otherwise, how would you know where it really took?
Well, there's a number on the screen, so you fix your number 4. There's another digital camera near you.
I want to hear the sound. If tomorrow Suzanne was totally mute, I'd want a button where I could have artificial Suzanne sound. It wouldn't be her talking, but it would be her voice, and it would just say whatever I programmed into it to say.
Kind of like Siri.
Rick, you're looking great today.
Siri, tell me how good I look.
Like mirror, mirror on the wall.
I don't know that I need that. I could probably go without that. All this electronic stuff, yeah. When they first introduced... okay, so digital cameras, you know, they introduced them, they said... Well, the quality of this is far better than any basic film. And the same thing when we got digital music, you know, like an iPod or an iPad or your iPhone eventually. And they said, but now you have these aficionados that say, well, nothing compares with the sound of vinyl.
Because
I think the only people that are saying that are like old people.
The digital sound compresses some of the stuff and deletes part of it, and it just tricks your ear into thinking it's all there.
You don't think you're getting the full spectrum?
No, you're not.
Why not? Why you say that?
Because digitally...
I would think that a computer could enhance things to even better than they were originally.
Well, maybe they can. But I'm saying when you listen
you're
to...
You're talking like an old man now.
When you're listening to an MP3...
Not my day.
When you listen to an MP3 recording, it has had part of the music removed from it and just leaves enough that your brain recognizes what's there.
But there's a way to fix that.
Oh, I agree with you.
You turn it up louder. Hey, turn that up!
Okay, cell phones, big deal right now, right? I mean, everyone's got one. I mean, you saw them when they swore in the new pope or brought the new pope out, all the phones that were... I mean, a lot of them, cardinals and bishops, priests, all had them.
They all had
holding them up there to take a picture of it. Now, you spent most of your life without one.
Yes, that is correct.
So if there was like a solar flare that wiped all...
I spent more time with my wife than I have with my cell phone. And that's just wrong.
If there was a solar flare that wiped out all the satellites and cell phones went the way of the dinosaur tomorrow, how badly would your life be affected?
I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care much either.
I didn't really care. But I think there'd be a whole lot of people working just as hard and fast as they can to get all that right back into place.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Guaranteed.
They'd come up with some system. Launch a whole bunch of new satellites, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Something that's sunproof.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you'd have about 2 or 3 months of people going insane.
Well, I think those guys that had their LP records are probably in pretty good shape.
Break out the vinyl. I got a whole bunch of vinyl over here. You got any vinyl records?
Yeah, I'll sell this Elton John album for $700. Do I have any albums?
Vinyl albums still.
Whew. No, I'm going to say no.
What happened to them all? You had a bunch of them when you were
a kid.
Gave
them all to your son.
Oh.
He's got them all.
He's got a vinyl collection.
He's got a good one. He's got mine. He's got Dennis's. He's got Brad's. He's got them all.
Well, I notice in my vinyl collection, there's a lot of them missing that should be there.
Well, I bet I know where they're at.
I'm guessing one of my children has polished them.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't think someone would break into the house and only take certain albums out of the
thing. You don't know that.
Thing. You don't think.
I don't think. You don't think you know that. You know what I've been binging on lately? Partridge Family.
I was going to say donuts.
Partridge Family.
Partridge Family.
Yeah. They had an all-day Partridge Family festival. I don't know what I'm... One of those no-name channels.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten...
How bad they are.
How bad those shows were. And how nobody played an instrument. How big the bell-bottom pants were. The stripes, the vest. They had it all, man. The long hair.
In the Partridge Family, supposedly the youngest boy played the drums, right?
Right.
Pretended to play the
drums.
Didn't
even come close. Didn't even look good.
But they changed him after the first year.
Right.
Do you know the story there?
Nah.
That first kid that they had that was the drummer of the Partridge Family.
Yeah, got hooked on drugs?
No. He was still a small child, but he was constantly running around and crazy.
Oh, they couldn't control him.
They couldn't control him, so they replaced him.
Chris.
You know, he was on speed, apparently. Just like he needed Ritalin really bad.
Okay. That was a bad casting choice.
It was the day before that, yeah.
Huh. Now, Dave Cassidy, who was pretty much the star of the show, when they would shoot for 5 days and then they would be off for 2 weeks. And then they come back and shoot, five more episodes and then be a... During this time off, he would just leave the country and he was superstar in France and Italy and Spain.
So
and
he would try to make trips to France, Italy, Spain, just so he could absorb some of the...
Well, he was doing rock and roll shows. He had, a touring band, and he was, just the front guy, and he was out there singing his hit songs, the Partridge Family songs, and making a fortune.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know the story behind the Partridge Family?
It was the Cowsills.
It was the Cowsills, but they wanted the actual Cowsills to be in that show. Did you know that?
Because they had the cool bus?
Well, no.
But supposedly they did.
Well... The gig, here it's these brothers that form a band, right? Rock and roll band. And their dad is turns out to be the manager of it.
Uh-oh.
And when they go to get them a record deal, the deal they strike is that they would get a record recording, but their mother had to be in the band too, that the dad lined that up.
Wow.
And the boys, they're teenage boys who did not want their mother in the band. But when they cooked up the Partridge Family, they did it exactly the same way, kids and the mother in the band. And they wanted the Cowsills. Cowsills were going to be on it. The only thing that the producer said was that Shirley Jones was going to play the mom. They had her lined up to play the mom. And the old man took the position that if his wife wasn't in it, none of them were going to be in it. And ABC, or the company that did it, says... Fine and dandy, and we changed the name from the Cowsills to the Partridges and renamed all the characters and just did it without them. I don't think they got a cut of the action or nothing, but they could have been stars.
Could have been stars.
Yeah. or bigger stars. I guess they were mildly stars.
Pretty mild. They had Hair, Rain Park, and other things. I don't know what else.
Indian Cow Lake, Sales. Indian Lake, or is that the Osmonds?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, they
Osmond Brothers are down by the Lazy River, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think. And Hair just came about because they were like on a guest show. They were doing a guest shot on some variety show, and the producers of this variety show thought it would be hilarious to have the Cow Sills sing Hair. So they lined them up to do it on that show, and it became so popular that they actually recorded it, and it was their biggest hit.
Who knew?
Who knew?
One of them died in Katrina.
Yeah, and they didn't find his body.
Right.
One of them died when he, like, dived into a giant tank of milk, didn't he?
They were promoting that. They were selling milk for a while, weren't they?
No. They did not line the Cow Sills up to sell smokes or beer.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, they could have made money. Okay, how much time do we have here?
Oh, we got plenty of time.
Okay. Do you collect anything? Collect albums?
I collect political buttons.
Political buttons?
I have the Republican and Democrat candidates for each of the years since Teddy Roosevelt.
Now, that's a tricky hobby because it's my understanding that about 90% of political buttons are
repoed.
Yes, reproductions.
And that is 100% correct. Whenever you look at them, you've got to really check them close to see whether or not they're repoed. Supposedly, there's a law that says that when you make political button reproductions, it has to be stamped on the back of them, reproduction.
Yeah.
Or have some has to say reproduction somehow on it that identifies it. Not everybody does that.
No.
But, you kind of have an eye for them as to looking at the hardware, whether it's kind of rusty and weathered or anything on them. That tells you whether they're old.
Huh. I don't know if there's a name for that. I have a hobby. You know what my hobby? You know what I collect?
Skulls.
Osteology.
Osteology.
That's what would make me an osteologist collector of skulls. But there are quite a few other objects that people collect and have collected over the years to where they get named. And I was going to see if you could tell me what some of these collectors,
wait into it. Just, I understand where you're going with this.
You understand.
I do understand.
Okay. Well,
going back to your skull thing just for a second, though. I was driving along the highway.
Yes.
It's kind of rush hour traffic.
Yes.
And by the side of the road is a dead American bald eagle.
Okay, you tell me about that.
And so Suzanne, who's riding with me, says, well, should we get its head for Alan?
Uh-huh.
And I just had this picture of me ripping the head off of a bald eagle and having like 1,000 people go by with their cell phones taking pictures of it and how long it would take before some national outcry happened. Even though I didn't kill it, of course.
Right.
It was just laying there. It was going to go to waste.
Yeah, that's a national bird, Rick. You got to think about what you're doing there, boy.
I did. I didn't go get
you
it.
You drove on.
I drove on. I did not pop home with an eagle's head.
Okay, this one's probably a fairly easy one for you to get. A Lepidopterus.
Boy, that sounds familiar.
If you watch the movie, what's the British guys that were like secret agents, not the gentleman, the
Kids in the Hall.
No.
Doctor Who.
No.
Avengers.
No, more modern, where they have he kills a whole bunch of people in a church while Leonard Skinner's playing.
Oh, that's a that's
The Kingsman.
The Kingsman. Thank you.
And that guy in the second one,
he collected butterflies.
Lepidopterist.
This has a butterfly collector.
That's a but. Oh, here's you do this right here. You are a Conchologist.
Shell collector.
Bingo. Bingo.
Wife and I collect shells.
Yes, you do.
Seashells.
By the seashore. What do you...
Sue seeks seashells by the seashore.
What about discophile?
I assume that's a record collector.
There you go. See, this is like explaining itself. Philatelist.
Collects flatulence?
Stamps.
Oh.
What about numismatist?
Coin collector.
That is correct.
Stamp collecting has kind of gone the way of things, though, isn't it? I mean, do people still collect stamps? Is that still a thing?
An archaeophile. Oh, people definitely still collect stamps.
I am going to go back here a little bit.
Okay.
Do you remember that there was a time when you went to the store, whether it's grocery store, shoe store, whatever, they would give you stamps, trading stamps.
Trading stamps, yeah.
And you get like little booklets.
Booklet, yeah.
And stick them in them, and once you had enough of them, you could...
go in and buy something, or they had a catalog that you could choose stuff from.
Yeah, like, just like Wheel of Fortune back in the old days when they would let you buy stuff, remember?
You go to the store, go shopping, yeah. And you're bringing this up, why?
Well, because you were talking about stamp collecting.
Okay.
But I don't think anyone collects... I don't think green stamps are a thing anymore.
Right? I don't think so either. I think it's a thing of the past. Here's one. And this was outlawed, actually. Oologist.
A what?
An oologist.
Spell it.
O-O-L-O-G-I-S-T.
Tea collector.
No.
Oolong tea.
Mm-mm. No. It's a bird egg collector.
That's illegal?
Yeah. It turns out that years ago, like back in the teens and 20s, 19-teens, 1920s,
yeah,
that bird egg collecting became so popular that it was wiping out the bird population.
You're kidding.
Huh? Like every man, woman, child in England had an bird egg collection. And now it's illegal to have one.
What are we going to do with them all? You can't really collect bird eggs?
Uh-uh.
What if it's a chicken?
And that's a thing of the past. That's a domestic bird.
Peacock eggs? It's a domestic
okay.
bird. Guineas? Could you tell a guinea from a chicken?
Well, God, yes.
When's the last time you saw a guinea?
I don't know, a couple months ago.
That's a lie.
That is not a lie. I was at this farm. I was visiting with this landowner, and I'm standing there talking. Then next thing I hear is, ah, ah. I'm like, oh, my God, what is that? Does that sound like a peacock? He said, yeah, it's a peacock, and here it comes walking around from behind the barn. I said, wow, that is cool. You guys have a peacock. And the guy just rolls his eyes. He said, wait for it. And 25 more came out. There were just peacocks everywhere, and they all started going, ah, ah.
What do you need more than one for?
I don't know.
I thought you said you saw a guinea, though.
They had some of those, too.
Granny Churchman have a guinea. Granny Grandpa Churchman
I think they may have had a guinea or two up there.
What do you do with a guinea?
You eat them.
Do you eat them?
Yeah, sure, you can eat them.
When's the last time you ate a guinea?
Never. I didn't say I ate them. I said you can eat them.
Granny Churchman probably ate a guinea.
What's an ambulist?
Sleep collecting.
It's collects walking sticks. Ambling along.
Yes.
Okay, you'll get this one. What's a cartomaniac?
I do not know.
Carto.
Like auto collector.
Maps.
Oh, like a cartologist.
Yes. Collects maps.
You know, it's difficult. It used to be go to a gas station and hand you out a map, right?
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. You want a map, you got to buy one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, just download them. Nobody buys a map anymore. It's a joke.
No, it's not a joke. When I travel, I like to have a big paper map. You know, what happens when you don't get cell service and you're just and you're just lost, or that the darn thing's trying to send you on some idiotic back road instead of just the main highway? You have a map in your hands. You can pull over to the side road, look at the map, and get where you're going. Paper map.
Okay, how's about a phrenologist?
Clicks bumps on the head. What?
That's phrenology. Phrenologist.
Egg collector.
No.
Cheese collector.
There you go. Cheese collector. They actually collect labels from cheeses. It's got to be a real European thing. Nobody in America would do that.
Labels from cheeses?
Yeah.
That's a thing, for real. Yeah. You know that some people collect what are called apple crate labels?
Is that right?
Yeah. You remember back in the day when we worked in the orchard, you know, you'd get crates that kind of came from all over. And every so often you'd get one that had a sticker on it.
Yeah.
Like an apple crate sticker from some other faraway place.
Yes.
And those are real collectible.
Is that a fact?
You can find those, you can buy them and sell them.
Okay. Here's one. A grabatologist.
Nope.
They collect ties.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you asked what collections I have.
You do have a bunch of ties.
I have a tie collection, because back in the day when I was the legal counsel for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, I had to wear a tie every day. I wore a different tie almost every day.
What about a mimomagnetist?
Collects mimeograph machines.
Collects refrigerator magnets.
Oh, okay, well, all right.
It turns out you collect a bit of crap.
I collect those too. Our refrigerator's covered from top to bottom with magnets from all the places we've traveled to.
Yes, you do have quite a few.
What I'm starting to think is that as I get older, what I should do is get magnets from every hospital I end up going to.
Paleontologist.
No, that's a dinosaur collector.
Fossils in general, yes.
Okay, well, you're kind of that. You've got fossils, don't you?
Yeah, I got quite a few of those.
Have you got any extinct animal fossils?
I have, actually quite a few of them, but I can't think of the actual scientific names of them. But, like, I got Ragusa coral. It's really this beautiful plant, but it's turned to stone. I've got trilobites. Yeah. There's this particular species of trilobite that you find along the Mississippi River in central United States, and there's a portion of a bluff line that is caved off where you can find these.
Are those the things that, like, when you bust open a mummy like a pinata, that they all come crawling out of it?
Those are scarabs.
Oh, okay. Is that a real thing?
A scarab?
Yeah.
Yes. Huh. What about a vexillologist?
Collects foxes.
Flags.
No. Huh. What's a person who collects political buttons?
No such thing.
I thought you were going to say idiot. Idiot. There it is.
A greiser.
Greiserologist?
Greiser is a person who goes out and takes pictures of trains.
Wow. Boy, that's somebody that needs to get a different hobby.
Well, I guess. What about a filigraphist?
I was thinking there's other things you could collect pictures of.
Yeah.
Other than trains.
Yeah.
There's probably a name for that, too.
Yeah. What did I just say? A filigraphist.
Collects things from Philadelphia.
Collects autographs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, the autograph business, there's a business that is totally fraught with fraud.
Which?
Autograph business.
Oh, yeah. Tons and tons of fraud.
Unless you put the pad of paper in front of Kim Kardashian and see her sign it herself, you don't believe any signed object. baseballs, footballs, they, if you don't see the athlete actually sign it, odds are you didn't.
They had, I was watching one of these, you know, collector shows on TV, and the guy had gone out and purchased a pair of boxing gloves that were signed by Muhammad Ali.
See, that would be the bomb if you had that.
And
boxing gloves, they actually signed a pair of boxing gloves.
Yeah, and you know, he had paid like $1,000 for them, or, you know, some number like that. And so he brings it into
the pawn shop
to have it evaluated, and the guy offers him $50. And the guy's like, $50? He said, it's signed by Muhammad Ali. And I said, yeah. And they had the signature. I've got the signature certified. This is this is the real thing. And the guy says, yeah, I believe it. I believe that's Muhammad Ali's signature. I don't doubt it. And he said, well, then, his greatest boxer ever, why are you only offering me $50? And the guy pulls up this thing on the internet, and it shows Muhammad Ali sitting at this table with a mountain of boxing gloves behind him, and he's just signing one after another, just all day long, signing boxing gloves and selling them.
Because he got to where he couldn't talk or hardly do anything.
Right, all he did was just sign his name to boxing gloves or anything else, you know, that was boxing-related. And there are millions of gloves out there with Muhammad Ali's name on them.
Muhammad Ali, like most boxers, I'm assuming, went through all the money that he earned as a boxer, and that he actually lived on, like, special appearances and memorabilia, and, you know, showing up to cut the ribbon at a grocery store type stuff.
Right.
That's how those guys make money.
A lot of them did. A lot of them did that.
Or, you know, work as a concierge at a casino someplace.
That was always popular. Welcome to Walmart. I mean, welcome to Vegas. All right, Rick, we're out of time.
Well, how about that? Tempest Fugit.
Yeah.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Muhammad Ali Gator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes. Because there aren't any.